Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Oh my God, yeah, let's get to it for crying out loud. This is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media. And if you're getting the podcast, downloading it, thank you so much. It's fun to see the numbers keep increasing every week. And I really appreciate it. I really do. Hey, you know, not only that, I just want to thank everybody who has, hey, wait, one thing. I want to adjust something here. Yeah, okay. I just want to thank everybody who has sent me well wishes or just, you know, kind of boosted me up. I really appreciate it. Things are going great, by the way. I had cardiac rehab again today. I did 44 minutes on four machines, 11 minutes each. Good heart rate, good blood pressure, good everything. It's going well. I actually kind of took it a tiny bit easier today because I was really tired yesterday. And I was thinking, okay, you know, you did actually have a heart attack. Maybe you should just back off a little bit and let things come to you. And, you know, I had a friend kind of, you know, push me in that direction too, which I appreciate you very much. Thank you for that. All right, let's get to it because there is a ton of stuff to talk about. As always, I love talking. So that's my thing, I guess. I sure enjoy doing it. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. If you all are on any social media, would you please make a post that we're live and people can come and listen to Real Liberty Media? Hal Anthony did a great job of getting the show up on Sunday. It was fantastic. I'm telling you, that guy is insane. 2 straight hours, no break, just information-filled 2 hours, well worth listening to. You're not going to find truth like this on very many other sites. You certainly won't find it on YouTube, although it looks like they are loosening their restrictions some, but hey. Screw those guys. Go to these platforms that allow free speech and conversations to take place. And look, it doesn't, I'm not kidding. It's kind of getting to the point where I think those situations where you're going to be able to have your like open conversations, you know, contradicting conversations, you know, they're getting more and more limited all the time. In some ways, it's terrifying. In some ways, I think, hey, you know, this country, people still believe in freedom, and I think we're still going to have freedoms in this country, but good Lord, it is going to be a fight. I have to adjust this microphone a bit. All right. I hope that's better. So anyway, back to Hal Anthony, great Behind the Woodshed on Sundays, 3 p.m. Eastern time. And, he's going to have another show, of course, this week. He's going to keep doing shows. So I'm not going to get into everything that's going on, but Hal Anthony is going to keep creating content, and it's going to be up on Real Liberty Media and other places as well. Sound Minds, I guess, does. I followed along Sound Minds this weekend. Fantastic job they do of kind of documenting Hal's show. So that's great. I really appreciate those guys. I'm going to say this again. September 28th, there won't be a show because I have to go to a meeting. That's a Wednesday, I believe. And but other than that, you know, we're going to be back on schedule. A little bit of update. Oh, I already told you about cardiac rehab going great. I got the new carburetor, the Edelbrock carburetor for the Chevy pickup today. That is so sweet. I can't wait to put that thing on. I guess this weekend I'll get to it. Right. Back to Freedom's coming back in time. No kidding. I got to move my notes over a little bit so I can see them. Yeah, there we go. Okay, so I didn't do a show on Saturday, and I'm going to really get into why. But basically, we had one of these things. It's a whole new term that I think we all better get familiar with because, you know, I think it's going to be more and more common for one reason or another. We had a power outage. Was it an unexpected power outage? No, it wasn't an unexpected power outage. They told us about it for 12 hours before they did it, at least. And this is what they're calling it. Public Safety Power Shutoff. PSPS, it's called. You can see it. It's on some commercials. If you happen to live where they're going to do it. But I think they're going to be just more and more common. The less energy we create, the more this kind of thing is going to happen. And oh my God, I saw some of the stories of the people's monthly bills that they're getting in the EU for power. It's ridiculous. It is beyond ridiculous. And that's what's going to be coming to the United States if we don't get smart about power. In fact, every country in the world needs to be smart about power because solar, wind, and hydro is just not going to do it. I mean, if you think of each one of those things, if there's no wind, there's no power, unless you have a bajillion batteries, you know, storing this power, which, you know, there's a whole nother argument about creating those batteries and the environmental damage those batteries will do. So you're not going to store that power. What was that? Wind. So if there's no wind, no power. If there's no sun, there's no power. If it's a cloudy day, you're going to produce a lot less power. And the same thing, are you going to store that power in batteries? No, you're not going to. It's just not financially or environmentally feasible to store power from solar and from wind. And, of course, solar doesn't work at night. So half the damn day, you're not even producing power from solar. And even though I can't say 100% against solar power because I actually ordered a solar power generator, and this was my thinking on that, is some power is better than no power, even if it's crappy return on investment. So I don't plan on hooking up this solar power generator to the grid and selling my power back to the power company. I plan on hooking this solar power generator up during the day and running the few bits of equipment that I want to run with it during the day when there's solar power. And, of course, it has a big storage battery. And I could buy a backup, additional storage battery and get twice as much capacity out of it. So I may do that. I may get that second battery and see how long it'll run. You know, the essentials. You need your freezer to stay frozen. You need your refrigerator to keep your food fresh, and you need water, I think, you know. And then outside of that, you got to figure out how to cook stuff. Got to have a barbecue, hibachi, a grill, something, camp stove, any of those kind of things, you know, propane. But I want to tell you about my own personal experience Saturday, because my wife and I have been preparing for this for a long time, and, you know, we wanted to make sure we were kind of ready to go the next time something happened. We've always had this generator. We've had this generator for decades, I think. And it, the damn thing just keeps running. I'm not kidding. Like, that thing could sit for 6 months. I don't know what's it been since the last time we used it. It'd been at least 6 or 8 months. In the wintertime, we had a shutdown power outage for, you know, a weather shut down. Let me get back to the reason why they shut the power off. So here in the Pacific Northwest, specifically I'll talk about Oregon, we had about 66 days of no rain, It had been warm, like warm, 80, 90 degrees, you know, pretty warm for the Pacific Northwest. Well, then there was already a couple wildfires burning, but they were expecting this strong east wind, kind of like the Santa Ana's in California, the strong east wind coming down the Columbia River Gorge. And that strong east wind and the dry conditions and the heat, you know, could potentially spawn some more fires. And I think there was a possibility of some lightning in the area, which could also start a fire. And then, of course, they get blown by these 30 to 60 mile an hour winds coming out of the gorge and across the Cascades. And yeah, so they were like, you know, these freaking power companies, which I'm going to get to later in the show. But they're like, oh, okay, we're going to shut down the power because this whole other thing that happened in California where the fire, a fire was caused by the electrical wires, people sued the electric companies and won. So, of course, you know, the power companies are now taking a step to make sure that their lines don't cause fires by just shutting the damn power off. Okay, so I'll get to more of that later, but this is what I wanted to tell you. This generator, I should have looked before I came on the air. I can't remember how big it is, but it's a pretty decent sized generator. Okay, I'm going to tell you what I was running on it. Well, first of all, let's go back to the well pump situation. So when the well failed about 14 months ago. They put in a new well, and the guy who was here, the power was also out, and it was 106 degrees that day or that weekend, and it was miserable, man, and we didn't have any water because we didn't have power and our well pump was out. So once the well pump was in, this guy said, hey, he says, I got a pigtail that will fit that generator. He said, you could just wire it up, and then whenever, you know, if you lose power, you can just run your well pump with this generator. And I was like, oh, yeah? And he happened to have one of those pigtails with him, and he didn't even charge me for it, which is unbelievable. Anyway, he gave it to me, and we wired it up right then to make sure it would work, and it worked. And so we knew the power was going out, and we had a rough estimate of when it was going out. So we got our generator out of the implement building, which is 200 yards away. We brought it up here. We got it set up. We got it fueled up. We made sure it ran. And then we kind of waited. And sure enough, the power went out about 2 o'clock on Saturday. So as soon as the power went out, I went out to the main box of the property and I shut the main power off and I went to the well pump. I pulled the power wires. Luckily, I don't know if I'll get back to this, but I'm just going to tell you, luckily, I pulled the power wires out of the spot where they were wired in, and then I wired in the power wires from the generator and we fired it up and we had water. So cool. We have water, you know, well pumps running when it has to, and you know, we have water, so we can flush toilets, we can wash our dishes, we can boil water on a camp stove outside. You know, we had all the amenities. We could have actually run the tankless water heater, because, you know, if you you got to balance the power. So if you're going to run your tankless water heater, you probably need to, you know, unplug the freezer or fridge or whatever, but we didn't really worry about hot water for showers, which is basically what you use a hot water heater for, or laundry, I guess, if you use hot water for laundry, and dishes, definitely. But, so after the well pump was wired in, we got the freezer, made sure the freezer was plugged in, although that freezer, I'm telling you, that thing will keep stuff frozen for 2 days easily, because it's got kind of a vacuum seal when you close it, and it stays frozen, like solid. In fact, the second day of no power, I opened it up and took an ice cream sandwich out to see if it was frozen. It was still frozen. It was slightly soft, like it wasn't solid bar, but it was frozen. And we plugged the refrigerator in. Okay, so once all of that stuff was running, we were like, okay, let's see what else we can run without overburdening the system. And, of course, we wanted internet. So we were thinking, because I use this terrestrial radio internet, which means my signal comes from a tower across the valley. There's a tower kind of on a smaller hill across the valley. We're actually higher than it, so our antenna actually points down to the tower that provides this internet to us. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, yeah, they're probably on the same power grid as, you know, the power grid that was shut off. But I bet they have backup power in that little shed that they're using to house their internet equipment. And I knew that routers don't really take a lot of power to run, so I went ahead and plugged in the router to the generator power. And 5 minutes later, I had internet. So once we had internet, we're thinking, okay, one of these big screen, you know, flat screen TVs, smart TV, uses Wi-Fi to connect to the router. We could probably watch TV, right? So we hooked up the outside TV, the one that's in the little kind of cubby area we have. We plugged that one in, and sure enough, we had TV. So we had water, we had the food saved, and we had TV and internet. So my wife could get on her laptop. I couldn't run. This is kind of funny. I have a battery backup on this system that I'm using. It's a desktop system I built myself. I'm very proud of it. It's really nice. But the battery backup system would only run it for like 5 minutes before it would shut down, because it was like, hey, you're drawing a lot of power. And that was fine. I mean, it's my system for sitting here doing this, you know. And if I wanted to, I could have plugged this in. It would have drawn a lot of power. We didn't really want to tax our generator. Like, we didn't want to overdraw our generator. And I would check it once in a while, just check and see if it was overheating, see if any of the wires were getting warm. Nothing, man. It just cruised along. And that's a gasoline generator. And then now I have this solar power generator that's coming that I think is awesome. And maybe, I'll tell you what, in next week's show, I'll discuss which generator I got. And I will tell you right off the bat, it is not the Patriot solar power generator. There's much better ones out there. I respect what Patriot is doing for veterans and stuff, but, you know, this is a survival situation for me. I want the best, the most bang for my buck, let's say, and that would be the generator I bought. So I'll hopefully it'll come between now and then, and I'll kind of review it for you. I don't do reviews, but I'll tell you what I think of it and how it works and stuff. But it just so happens that the solar power generator I bought, you can use it while you're charging it, which is awesome, because some of those solar power generators out there, you cannot use them while you're charging it. So in the future, when we have this situation, I will put probably this system on a solar power battery bank and see how that does, and then we'll run the other stuff with the gas power generator or not. I mean, I'm thinking about getting a laptop, because like in that situation where there's no power, it would be really be nice to have a laptop to just sit on your recliner, pull the laptop up and do whatever. Oh, okay, maybe I will do a review. It would be interesting to do a review. I don't think I've ever reviewed anything, so maybe that would be a fun new adventure. Anyway, so we'll have the two generators in the future, It's on the way. I didn't look at the tracking information. I ordered it last Thursday. I got a confirmation that it was sent on Friday. So it'll be on its way. Anyway, so things are, you know, that'll be nice to have additional source of power. And if I really like it, I'll buy the extra battery and extend the amount of energy, the hours of energy we can use after the sun goes down. I mean, that would be the goal, right? Is that you harvest the sun's energy, you store it, and you use it at night. I'm going to tell you something else that was just fantastic. Like, I think everybody ought to go out and buy 10 of these right away. Wait, first let me buy some stock in them. No, I'm kidding. I don't know if you've ever seen these little round puck lights, like puck, P-U-C-K. I call it a puck. It looks like a hockey puck, but it's a light, and it's a LED light, and it runs on AA or AAA batteries. We put those things up everywhere. We must have had, I don't know how many we have. I bet we have 10 at least. And you can make them turn on and off, like you can turn it on with your hand or turn it off with your hand, or you can set it to motion detect on, and then there's like a 20-second delay and it goes off. I'll tell you, we put those things in each room of the house. So as we moved from room to room, we didn't have to, you know, have a flashlight or, you know, string some more cables and put another light in a room. We just had these little puck lights and we put them right on the floor. So when you walk in, it sees you, it lights up the entire floor, reflects off the ceiling. So the room is lit. I mean, you didn't have any problem seeing anything. This little tiny LED puck light lit up everything. And of course, because we had water, you know, we put one in the bathroom so you could go in the bathroom, turn the light on, brush your teeth, go to the bathroom, whatever. And I'm telling you, those things were, it was just awesome. And then the one more thing that I plugged in was a lamp in the man cave here, the studio. Because when Rochelle and I were done outside and moving in for the night, we sat here in the man cave. And instead of having the outside TV on, we turned the inside TV on, and man, we just continued. And I'm telling you, like, we watched college football, we watched the Brewers game, I caught up on a race, a NASCAR race that I have recorded to a virtual DVR. So, you know, if I miss the race, if I'm not here, or if it's on during the show, I just go back and watch it off the DVR. I'm telling you, we did not suffer. One little bit, we did not suffer. Which is awesome. I do want to tell you one really crazy thing, though. Because, I'm sure not all of you are electricians or go in rewiring your well pump or whatever, but I just want to tell you one terrifying thing that happened. So, remember back in the beginning of this little account I'm telling you, I said I went out and turned the main breaker off in the main panel outside by the power pole. Okay, I did turn that main breaker off, but I'm going to explain to you a little something that I'm sure could not possibly happen to anybody else, but I want you to hear this story so you think before you do anything. Luckily, I was an electrician in the Coast Guard for 12 years, and I think like an electrician when I'm doing electrical stuff. So I shut that main off after the power had gone off. I shut the main off so that we could power up the house as we needed to, you know, a little bit at a time. But here's what happened. It's a little hard to explain. And remember I said I'm so happy I pulled the power wires out of the well pump. This is why. Wife and I are sitting watching NFL on Sunday, right? And we get a notification that they're going to start turning the power back on in different areas, but they're not really sure what time they're going to turn it on, right? It's like, well, whenever we get to it, but like sometime today. So my wife and I are sitting watching the NFL, and we hear something beeping. We were like, what the hell is beeping? Like, nothing should be beeping. There's no power on. And we go in the main house, what I would call the living room, this big living room we have. And the damn, like, things are powering on. And I'm like, holy hell. I gotta go shut the well pump off. Because I was thinking that I left the power wires connected and then I connected the power wires from the generator. But fortunately, thinking this could possibly go wrong, I had pulled the power wires from the main breaker. Because if I hadn't, and that power came back on, I would have had my generator powering the well pump, and I would have received another 220 volts from the power grid. All would have gone and blown up my well pump. Now, this is what actually happened. This house was built in three different stages. The original house was probably on that main breaker. Then they added on to this house, which was a whole nother breaker box or sub panel. So that went on a breaker below the main breaker. And then they built the house out front, which we call the mother-in-law's cottage. Well, guess what they did? They ran the power from the main breaker to that little house, and then I think they stole power from the main breaker and ran it to a breaker that went to the house. Oh no, that's not right. They took main power coming off the power pole and went to a breaker that goes to the house, and that's why, even though the main was off, the sub breakers in that box, one of which goes to this house, was on and wired directly to the power pole, to the power coming off the pole. So I had like a little second heart attack thinking we were feeding power directly to the well pump, and luckily we weren't. But here's the other thing I wanted to tell you. So immediately my mind was thinking, okay, that main breaker is off, but there's power in this house. That means there's a very good possibility that the wires I disconnected from the well pump actually have power to them. And I didn't want to mess with them until I knew. So, of course, I used a meter on those two wires to make sure that there was no power on those wires, so I could wire them back to the well pump and take the wires off of the generator. But you can imagine, like, in a little, if you're a little bit stressed because you lost power and you're doing stuff like that, you can kind of overlook it. I mean, I didn't wire that box. I just assumed that big giant main breaker turned everything off. Well, it doesn't. It will when I get an electrician out here to put it back to the way it should be. At least now it's labeled. So now anybody, if anything happens to me or Rochelle or whatever, it's all labeled. Like, hey, you know, don't trust this switch. It's not what you think it is. But anyway, so that was my weekend of scheduled power outage. And, you know, I'm just saying, fortunately for us, I mean, now we're really set up. Like, you know, I don't think we are going to, you know, we won't stress about any power outage from here on out, except for this one thing. Like, when it's freezing rain, ice and snow, you just got to hate going out there and getting everything going and that. And, you know, the cost of gasoline, too, for that generator. I don't know. I think it's like an 8-gallon tank on that thing. And it probably run 12 to 15 hours on a tank, maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. No, probably less. I don't know. I'll have to run it completely empty sometime and see. Because you know, I don't want it to run out. So I don't let it get down too far before I top it off. But hell, gas is expensive too. So, but I guess my advice is, man, if you don't have a little generator, make the investment and go get one. Not saying a solar power one. I think gas or propane would be great. Yeah, it's just nice to have power, you know. And a lot of people didn't have power. In fact, one of my staff members was talking about, you know, how they had to eat, you know, they had so much meat in the freezer and they're going to have to eat it now because it defrosted. You know, okay, you know. I get it, man. Everybody can't have everything, but if you could have just a little bit of power and save, especially food today, man, food is so expensive. I don't think anybody would like to buy food twice if they didn't have to. And, you know, one of those things. Let's move on. Oh, my gosh. I have some great, you know, of course, I think they're great stories. Let me see how we're doing. Oh, we're doing great. Just stories, man. More stuff I want to cover. Somebody wrote an article. Let's see who wrote this article. Because, man, this is a great article. It is titled, States to Ban Gas-Powered Cars Despite EVs, Electric Vehicles, Human and Environmental Costs. Oh, my God. There is so much information in this little piece. It's stuff that I've been talking about for well over a year. Well over a year. I'd like to go back and see. I was reading notes in the chat room. There's so much stuff in this article, but I've been talking about this stuff for a long time. And I don't, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand how one political party can have an agenda that's so narrow-minded that they ignore completely these very things that they say they stand against, you know, human rights and environmental costs. Like, let me just get into some of this. In Chile's Salar de Atacama, locals watch helplessly as their ancestral lands wither and die, their precious water resources evaporating in briny sallars. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, hope for a better life dissolves as well-funded Ugandan-led extremist groups force children as young as 6 to work in cobalt mines. And I'm telling you, hey, we've seen this before. Let me get a drink. You know, we've seen this before. It goes on in China all the time. You have all these great companies, all these Fortune 500 companies, all of these well-to-do companies that absolutely ignore human rights because it gets in the way of their profits. You have companies that say that they're buying cobalt from mines that don't use children. I got news for you. They're not verifying that. Okay, I don't know if they are or not. I'm guessing that's complete BS. And we're going to get into some of those details about the cobalt mines and children in a minute. Closer to home, Nevada's Fort McDermitt tribe and local ranchers fight to protect a sacred burial site and agricultural land said to be sacrificed by Lithium Nevada, a mining company, in the coming days. Meanwhile, in California, yeah, Governor Newsom thinks, you know, he's being so aggressive at getting rid of fossil fuel-powered vehicles, and, you know, they're going to get rid of them all by 2035. They're going to have 100% electric vehicles. I got news for you. People think that fossil fuel is going to run out, which I think is complete malarkey. I just don't believe it. I just, I believe that fossil fuel is a renewable resource, and it's going to keep producing, man. It's just going to keep producing because, you know, like, since there's been life on Earth, there never hasn't been life on Earth. And life, you know, biomass makes fossil fuel. If you believe that, like, if you believe that fossil fuel comes from fossils, then what you have to understand, and if you think about it, like, life has only continued to grow and expand and have multiple, I mean, hell, they talk about the human population exploding and how, you know, we're overtaking the Earth and all that stuff. Well, so we go back in the ground and we become fossil fuel, okay? And so does all of the vegetation becomes fossil. Everything becomes fossil fuel. Well, all biomass becomes fossil fuel. So if you believe that, then you kind of have to believe it's not going to ever run out, because it just keeps, like, year after year, more dead stuff starts the process. Year after year, we pump the dead stuff out in the form of crude oil and make, you know, gasoline and diesel and kerosene and jet fuel and everything else out of it. But man, holy cow, the hidden costs, let's see. John Hatter, director of Great Basin Resource Watch, disagrees with Biden and Newsom and all them, pointing out that industrialized nations might benefit from the transition to EVs, but it's at the expense of others, always, right? We don't care what happens to other countries, other nations, other environments, other people. We don't care as long as it's not happening here, right? So we just go, well, we, the big corporations, just go in and do all the damage that they want because there are no regulations in those countries. And those countries, you know, some of them are excessively poor, extremely poor countries, and they would love some money. They would love some wealth in their country so they could actually eat meals, like more than one a day and more than one, you know, variety of food a day. The expansion of lithium mining will have immediate consequences for frontline communities that are taking the hit. For example, Copiapo, the capital of Chile's Atacama region, is the location of one of the world's largest known lithium reserves. Here's the problem with that. We'll get to the environmental damage in a minute, but here's the problem. They already know how big this lithium reserve is. Guess what? It's not going to provide enough lithium to power all the freaking electric vehicles that they want to build. And it's one of the largest. We used to have a river that now doesn't exist. There isn't a drop of water, Elena Rivera Cardosa, president of the indigenous Kola community of the Copiapó commune, told the National Resources Defense Council. She added that all of Chile's water is disappearing because of the local lithium mine. In all of Chile, there are rivers and lakes that have disappeared, all because a company has more right to water than we do as human beings or citizens of Chile. Just imagine this for a minute. So Newsom, Biden, and others are responsible for these people basically becoming extinct. You're not going to live without water, and there's no water. Because why? Because we need lithium. Why do we need lithium? Because we want to make electric vehicles. Seriously. And here you have one of the largest lithium mines in the world, and it's only going to produce so much lithium, and at the cost of what? All of these indigenous people, all people, all citizens, all of the people who depended on those waterways for food and for water and for maybe transportation. Maybe for making a living. The waters are gone. Some of them are completely gone. Lakes and rivers, gone. not a drop of water left in them. And hell, we are just getting started on the, you know, great drive to mass electric vehicle production. That's displacing indigenous communities who have called Atacama home for more than 6,000 years because farmers and ranchers have cracked dry, farmers and ranchers have cracked dry soil and no choice but to abandon their ancestral settlements, according to the UN Conference on Trade and Development. There's a mine proposal in northern Nevada saying goodbye to an ancestral homeland as a local lithium mine destroys it, is something communities in northern Nevada are fighting to avoid. Hatter, the guy who originally started this study, pointed out that Quinn production well in Oravada, Subaria hydrographic basin, which supplies water to Thacker Pass, is already heavily over-allocated. But lacking water isn't the only concern locals have with Thacker Pass, he says. The National Congress of American Indians are deeply concerned that the mine will threaten the community with man camps and labor, large labor forces. The introduction of man camps near reservations has shown to correlate strongly with an increase in sexual assaults, domestic violence, and sex trafficking. The concern has merit. In 2014, the United Nations found that extractive industries, aka mines, led to increased instances of sexual harassment, violence, rape, assault due to man camps or workers at the mines. Let's see what else. Oh, the experience of Congolese miners. That's something the people of the Democratic Republic of Congo know firsthand experience. In its 2022 report, the U.S. Geological Survey reported that in 2021, more than 70% of the global cobalt production came from the DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, and that southern Congo sits atop an estimated 3.5 million metric tons, almost half of the world's known supply of cobalt. So now you have lithium and cobalt. And notice they say almost half of the world's known supply. So they know that that's a limited resource right now. They're going to have to find more cobalt somewhere once they destroy completely, you know, people living in the Congo and all their lands and their entire way of life. Because once they mine it all, what do you think is going to happen to this area? It's going to be abandoned, just like they did diamonds, just like they did, I forget what other things they found in Africa. I was watching that motorcycle rider, Itchy Boots. She was giving a pretty good presentation when she was there about how these mines, once the corporations were done with them, man, they just pulled out. They left all their buildings. They left all these houses. They just left everything and was like, yeah, you're on your own later. And then, you know, people either slowly moved away or died. So in December, researchers at Northwestern University conducted an environmental life cycle assessment on extracting raw materials needed for EVs and published their paper in One Earth Journal. They found cobalt mining was associated with increased violence, physical and mental health challenges, substance abuse, food and water insecurity, among other issues. They further noticed that community members lost communal land, farmland, and homes, which miners dug up to extract cobalt. Oh, my God. Oh, got to have a drink. I need to start putting alcohol in this thing. That'd be awesome. I don't drink alcohol, so this show would be pretty damn short. Yeah, you might think mining is just digging something up, but they are not digging on vacant land. Homelands are dug up. People are literally digging holes in their living room floors. Just think. So somebody comes to town, like, you're living your life out in your village. Some guy shows up, a little corporation down the road, like, yeah, we're digging for cobalt. we pay this much money for cobalt, and you don't make that much money in a year. And what you could get from a pound is like a year's salary. You think you're not going to dig through your living room floor to see if you can find some cobalt? Yeah, people are doing it all the time. Every aspect of life includes... You may think the repercussions of mining can touch almost every aspect of life, and that every aspect of life includes children. In the DRC, an estimated 40,000 children are working in the mines and under slave labor conditions, some as young as 6 years old. There was hope that the DRC president, Felix, I can't even say his last name, would curb the abuses, but now those hopes are dwindling. In her address before Congress, yeah, they talked about it in Congress, and basically Congress has just said, oh, okay, whatever, but we need these electric vehicles. I mean, basically, so that's what our United States representatives in the Senate and the House of Representatives and the executive branch, they're basically saying, yeah, we don't care. We do not care if you are enslaving people in China or enslaving people in the Democratic Republic of Congo. We don't care if you're wiping out indigenous people in South America. We don't care about any of those people as long as we're not polluting our own United States. And even in the United States, they don't care, because in Nevada, the lithium mine is going to take over indigenous people's land and farmers and ranchers. They don't care. They don't care. They need these vital rare earth minerals to make their electric cars. And then when they run out, what are we going to do? I know there's, I'm sure that they have something else in mind. I mean, and think about this. So while they're making all these electric vehicles, they are cutting the amount of energy that we produce. Yeah, it would be cheap to pay the fines if there were fines. You know, in some of these countries, there's no fines. There's no regulations. That's why the corporations go and set up fast and start mining the crap, destroying the hell out of other countries' property, because there's no repercussion for it. Let's see what else there is, man. I'm telling you, it's crazy. It's crazy that... politicians can be so two-faced. And what's crazier is that people don't look for the truth. They only hear, you don't hear any of this stuff on mainstream media. Is one single person, is one single outlet talking about lithium or cobalt, child slave labor, human rights violations, violence, rape, mental depression? No, they're just talking about how great electric vehicles are going to be and the kumbaya moment we're going to have when, you know, the earth is completely green and we no longer depend on that dirty, nasty fossil fuel that comes out of the earth and hasn't stopped coming out since we started pumping it. And even in wells where they quit pumping because they ran out, they go back years later, it's full again. They just start, that's what I'm saying. It's a renewable resource. But we're just not going to be happy until we ruin several, I mean, that's kind of the history of the United States in a way. Since we become industrialized, yeah, we just want to destroy everybody else's country that has those resources. That's what we want. We don't care. We don't care. The United States does not care about the Democratic Republic of Congo, about Chileans, about enslaved religious believers in China. No, we don't care. What else did I get from that article? It was so good, man. I think that's about the end of it. Just want to make sure I didn't miss anything. Nope, we didn't. Okay, let's move on to the next story. We got a few more minutes to go. Man, I have four editorials I want to get to today. I don't know I'm going to get to it. Let's go over this Bill Gates idea. This is the funniest thing ever. Like, so shall we all now believe in Bill Gates to restore or to somehow manage providing food to the entire world? I was actually kind of surprised to see that he was working on a corn seed that, so he calls this, his idea, the magic seed. So listen to this. Gates points in particular to a breakthrough he calls magic seeds, crops engineered to adapt to climate change and resist agricultural pests. The Gates Foundation on Tuesday also released a map that models how climate change will likely affect growing conditions for crops in various countries to highlight the urgent need for action. But, you know, I mean, honestly, I'm thinking like global warming will extend my growing season, which means I'll have more food longer throughout the year. I could be wrong. I said once a few weeks or months ago I was going to start growing pineapples out here in Oregon. I'm kidding. Now, crops resistant. Now, this is what I don't understand. So think about what Bill Gates said. He's got some magic seed idea, right? Kind of like the magic vaccine idea he has. He's got a magic seed that's going to be resistant to agricultural pests. Now, this is my question. I don't think there's any winning. I don't think there's any way we win an argument one way or another. But if you create a crop that resists agricultural pests, air quote, won't that like upset the balance of nature between the agricultural pests and the rest of the world? I mean, those pests have some function in the world, and other animals, I think, depend on those pests as food. So, like, once you start screwing with things like this, where, you know, not that we don't anyway spray crops with pesticides to kill the same pests, but I mean, you see what I'm saying? Like, okay, yeah, you have this idea, you know, your magic seed that's going to resist agricultural pests, and then what are those pests going to do? Where are they going to go? Like, they like corn, and they like cotton, and they like soybeans, and they like sugar beets. I mean, probably, there's probably pests that have kind of specialized their ability to live based on crops that we plant. Which kind of means, well, we don't need them. You know, we could let them go away. But maybe not. Because maybe other animals, maybe there's some beautiful butterfly that, you know, is really rare because it's just adapted to eating these agricultural pests before it makes its flight from South Africa to North America. And then we take away the thing that it likes to eat to build up its energy to make the flight. And, well, there you go. It's gone. That's what I'm saying, man. People, especially geeks, IT geeks like Bill Gates, or thieves like Bill Gates, they don't have an idea how the real world works. Like, they're not in touch with nature at all. I mean, especially, you know, think of the things that they're doing, like this whole EV thing and get rid of fossil fuels. I mean, come on. The world depends on it. You can't cut it off instantly unless you want to kill most of the population, which, yeah, I know that's one of their agendas. maybe they're going to be successful at that. I don't know. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting. So now I'm doing, So I wanted to finish up the Bill Gates thing. So Gates says if there's some non-innovation solution, you know, like singing Kumbaya, I'll put money behind it, Gates said. But if you don't have those seeds, the numbers just don't work. He added, if somebody says we're ignoring some solution, I don't think they're looking at what we're doing, right? All right, Billy. Somebody asked me, moving on to the, I'm just going to, briefly, two things I want to cover. One is, somebody asked me, why does the West Coast burn every year? Man, that is a long story. Basically, because we absolutely do not manage our forests properly. Let me tell you, back when I was a kid, when I was 20, 30, you know, between my 0 year and my 30th year, after loggers went in and logged an area, you could get a $10 permit and go haul out all of the firewood you wanted to haul out, right? And the forest got cleaned up by people who either wanted to sell firewood or gather firewood for their own wood stoves or whatever. Now, no, you can't go into the forest and do that. So they clear cut an area. They leave all this crap on the ground, which dries out, gets sunbaked. It gets heated up to 110, 20 degrees when it's summertime. And then lightning thunderstorms roll through and boom. You know, it doesn't take 50,000 degrees to light a dry stick on fire. Hell, you could do it probably with a cigarette butt. It happens every single year. So yeah, complete mismanagement of our forest land because greenies don't want you going in there because you're going to disturb some lizard's habitat or the spotted owl's future generation or whatever. It's horrible, absolutely horrible what we've done with the forest, with our forest. I wanted to see how much time I got. Holy hell, we're getting down to it. Okay, the last thing I wanted to talk about, no, I have 10, I have more, but the last thing I'm going to talk about, maybe, is this public safety power shut off. Now, here's my biggest complaint. Power companies have known since they put the first power pole up. And guess what? They didn't even put power poles up at first. They buried the cables in the ground. But then somehow, somewhere along the way, somebody said, hey, it'd be so much cheaper if we just strung these above the ground because, you know, it costs money to dig ditches, to run conduit or pipe or whatever you run under the ground and put cables in it, right? So they're like, hey, we could just, like, destroy a bunch of forests and grab these poles and hang wires from them and hang these all over the place. Now, somewhere along the way, somebody, the first time like a car crashed into a telephone pole, the first time a storm took out a telephone pole and knocked out all the power and probably killed people, probably the power company should have said, you know what, maybe we ought to put these cables underground, right? And somewhere along the way, like power companies should have started thinking, yeah, it'd really be better if these things were underground. And don't tell me it's harder to fix them underground. It's not. They just pull the cable out, pull a new one in. Yeah, it's a hassle, but come on now. Here we are. A power company got sued, a year or two ago because one of their power lines started one of the biggest fires in California history. And they lost, so they had to pay all of this money, you know, in compensation for this giant fire. Now think about it. So instead of actually thinking, hey, we're going to start burying our power lines, no, we're just going to shut off the power when there's a potential of starting a big-ass fire. We're just going to turn off everybody's power. That's the way we're going to handle it because it's too damn expensive for us to go digging ditches and putting these lines underground, which is the right thing to do. All right, next week we're going to talk about the damn Vax commercials. Oh, here we go. Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.